BeatTheBook.com.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Thursday, January 31st edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. Let's go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me as two professional handicappers join me to give their thoughts on Super Bowl 53 and a little bit of college basketball stuff. The first, Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. We'll talk props. We'll talk side and total. We'll also talk West Coast Conference college hoops as we continue our conference-by-conference breakdowns. Second half of today's show, Tony George, professional handicapper over at Doc Sports, will join us. We'll chat Super Bowl 53 props with him as well. Then take an updated look at the Missouri Valley Conference, where the balance of power has most definitely shifted since we last talked about that league. Over at BangTheBook.com, where we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information, lots of phenomenal content over there for Super Bowl 53, different opinions on prop bets. I've got Rams, Patriots, game and novelty and entertainment props. Admir's got some stuff on the quarterbacks, first quarter, first half, scoring props. We got Danny Vorgs' power ratings pick for the game. We've got my game preview. We'll have a bunch of stuff as we go through the weekend here as well over at BangTheBook.com. Still covering NBA, NHL, and college basketball on a daily basis. Daily picks pieces over there for those. Alan Moody on the NBA, Parker Michaels on the NHL, Kyle Hunter on college basketball. We've got esports articles. We've got golf stuff, soccer stuff. You name it, we've got it all over there at BangTheBook.com. Head on over to our Bang the Book YouTube page as well. Check out the good videos that we've got going up over there. Then, of course, as you know, our sportsbook reviews over at BangTheBook.com. And this edition of Bang the Book Radio, like all the others, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB200 is the promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. Two guests on the program here today. We start things off with professional handicapper Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. Brad, how's it going today, man?
Man, it's going well. How are you doing on this fine Thursday morning?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate the time as always here, man. And we're going to start, as we often tend to do during our segments with Brad Powers, with college football. The Super Bowl is coming up. Yes, college basketball is going on, but you know, Brad's a college football guy. It's kind of our thing here with this segment. Last week, you mentioned a very intriguing nugget about Notre Dame and their schedule for next season, playing a lot of teams coming off of bye weeks. What have you uncovered here for this week in your research?
Yeah, unfortunately, not too much. That was something, just a big project that I finished last week as far as getting the early schedules up. One thing that's obviously, and look, it's a major not news week for college football in the last week, but there will be some major moves starting next Wednesday when it comes to recruiting. And to me, how do you handle recruiting? Well, number one, I get it, a majority of freshmen aren't going to impact you for the upcoming season, or will they? I would say, where college football is trend, more young players are contributing more and more. Don't believe me? Flip on the national title game the last two, 3 years where you got a freshman starting, you got a true freshman starting quarterback. Also, the new rules that were in place last year, the fact that freshmen can play four games and still be able to redshirt their season, to me, that obviously greatens the chances that freshmen can contribute more in a particular season. And when you hear about the news upcoming Wednesday, I mean, obviously you're going to hear about a couple of teams at the top. No surprises, Alabama, Georgia at the top when it comes to recruiting classes. But I think a very positive thing when it comes to college football is the teams that right now are ranked 3, 4, and 5, Texas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. I get it, Texas, Texas A&M are still in that southern corridor, but moving more towards the southwest, little bit different market. I think, generally speaking, college football's got a little bit of a narrative problem right now. It's a very southern-dominated sport at the top. Getting teams up there that are even a little bit slightly out of that region, I think gets more eyeballs on the game in itself and a little bit more balance throughout college football, I think, be better for the sport.
Well, we talk a lot about what they're doing over at Caesars here on the show. And, part of that is because Matt Lindemann is a good friend of mine, and I'm very proud of what he's been able to accomplish over there. But a couple of days ago, They put out college football odds to win the 2020 college football championship, which will be played at Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Every team was listed. Brad, I got to say, man, lots of value on Akron at 10,000-1, Texas State at 10,000-1, Rice at 10,000-1. How can you pass on those numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had more when it came to the futures market. I mean, that's been gobbled up here in the last 2-3 years. I mean, I don't see it changing much. I mean, Alabama, Clemson still coming in the next season are clearly the superior teams when it comes to college football. Both quarterbacks, Tua, and also Trevor Lawrence are going to be back. Alabama with a chip on their shoulder for how that ended. And Clemson with all their skill position talent left, the two best coaches right now in college football. I mean, I'm Mr. Future guy. I mean, just a couple of years ago, I was very proud of my Miami and Wisconsin 80-1 tickets, especially the last week of the regular season when the two teams were sitting number two and number three in the polls, and I got 80-1. The reality is neither one ended up winning the game. Neither one made the playoffs. So while I did a little bit of hedging and made a little bit of money, I just the college football right now in the futures market, I mean, if you're going at way outside of the bubble there, good luck. I think your opportunity to make money in futures, for the most part, Heisman Trophy, and then wait till the conference odds come out in the summer. I think you can still get some juicy aspects. You know, UAB, I think, opened last year 20-1 to win their Conference USA. Utah was 15-1 to win the Pac-12. You could have hedged on that in the Pac-12 title game. That's more of your opportunity to make some money. Alabama, I don't see anyone really breaking through the Alabama-Clemson bubble this year. And if there is one team, it's Georgia, and obviously you're not getting a significant amount of value on the Bulldogs either.
Yeah, you look at these opening numbers, and they have moved, and we'll talk about a team that has moved that I know of here in just a second. Alabama 5-2, Clemson 2-1, Georgia 6-1, Ohio State at 15-1. There's probably a little bit of value in the Buckeyes, but I feel like that number is probably somewhere in the 12-1 or 10-1 range at this point, because I know there was a little bit of chatter about them when this sheet came out. But Nebraska was a team that got hit. Nebraska was 100-1 on these opening odds over at Caesars. I know the offshore market has been a lot lower than that. They're not willing to embrace as much risk, I guess, early on here in the process. But, man, Nebraska is going to be that flavor of the month team, or flavor of the year team, really, in the Big Ten. 100-1. I mean, that actually feels like a pretty fair price to me that people jumped all over.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I hate to sound like a Debbie Downer here, but Nebraska's not going to win the national title. So, I mean, could I see him getting to the Big Ten championship game? And if he had a 100-1 ticket, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, what are their chances I could see him winning the Big Ten West. There's no doubt about that. But are they going to be 12-0 heading into that game? I don't see that being the case. Even 11-1, I think, is a little bit of a reach. I think the most important takeaway from this is, you know, if you want to get at Nebraska, and I'll be one of those guys that's going to be pro-Nebraska this upcoming season, I think bet early than late, because Nebraska is going to get hit on everything, whether it be a season win total, whether it be conference championship odds. We've already seen in a couple of places, offshore, Adrian Martinez, their quarterback, getting hit in Heisman odds. Nebraska is going to be one of the most popular teams, whether it be public or sharper bettors. If you're going to get anything at Nebraska, hit them early. But, I mean, the reality is, it's a relatively light schedule early. I think they'll be 4-0 when they host Ohio State. And after that, I mean, they do host Wisconsin and Iowa. So I guess if they beat Ohio State, looking at the schedule, Adam, I guess I could see them with 10 or 11 wins. So kudos to the guys that hit Nebraska 100-1 and, save the tape here. But I don't think Nebraska's making the playoffs, and I don't think they're winning the national championship. So you'll have to get creative with some of those tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so either. And realistically speaking, they're probably going to have to beat Ohio State twice to even put themselves in the college football playoffs. So, that's a very difficult thing to do, whether Urban Meyer's there or not. Still a very difficult thing to do. But again, props to what they're doing over at Caesars. And, still, I mean, at the very least, even if we're not betting into these numbers, and Obviously, unless you live in Las Vegas or in the state of Nevada and have access to the app, you're not betting into these numbers. But at least it's good to see in the last week of January some sort of idea of how these teams, you know, will set up both in their respective conferences and also nationally. I mean, we talk about this all the time. The accelerated timelines for these sports markets are crazy right now. And, you know, you and I were talking about this a little bit. I would not be shocked if after the first weekend of March Madness, or at least after the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, we see college football season win totals at Caesars. It would not stun me at all. So, you know, this is a, again, we're looking way ahead, but, you know, I don't mind this. I don't mind getting an idea of what I should be looking for and what I can expect.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to really fast track it for me as soon as, you know, I'll probably have to start doing it. And I will. I'll get more heavy once recruiting's after next week. I've been pretty much in the Super Bowl bubble here in Las Vegas. And then on top of that, you know, trying to, you know, meander through all the college basketball talk. But, look, it makes sense for the book. They're not going to be at too much risk because they're going to – and rightly so. They're going to limit the bets, but they're going to get a feel for the market, and more importantly to them, they're going to hold your money for several months at a time. So I like that Lindemann's getting aggressive out there in Caesars. It's good because, you know, South Point has been leading the way the last couple of years, and if you got another book that's being as aggressive, if not more aggressive, I love it. Competition breeds, the success for the most part, and I think in this instance, it's better for the better, especially if you specialize, and I'm doubling up on words here. If you're specializing in one single sport, you know, there'll be some value. Those numbers are going to be soft. And Lindemann does a great job, but you can't know everything about every single sport. That's the problem. And we're all restrained with 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, like you said, it's smart for them because they're gathering information for when they put out the conference and division futures, when they put out season win totals. This is going to give them an idea of, you know, who some of the sharp bettors actually like to have really strong seasons. And you know, that information definitely worth whatever kind of risk or exposure they put on themselves. So, again, I think it's very smart. I think it's very progressive. And it's something that I'm very happy to see. All right, let's go to the Super Bowl here. College football a long way away, but good to talk something a little bit off the beaten path here before getting into Super Bowl 53, because there's really not a whole lot to say about side and total here. It's still 2.5. It's still 56.5. It's been that way for about 3 or 4 days now, and the Super Bowl now really not that far away.
Yeah, and we haven't seen too much linemen. Obviously, the bigger linemen came within the first 3-4 hours of the game actually opening up right on Championship Sunday and into that first Monday. I haven't seen too much linemen, although, look, I know we've had 10-plus days of betting now at this point. The reality is probably three-quarters of the money is going to show up starting this week and starting tomorrow night in Vegas when everybody gets into town. I mean, we're expecting, you know, 300,000-plus visitors coming to Vegas. And then, you know, the offshore markets, the limits get higher. So, if there's going to be a move, there's not going to be anything in the next 24 hours, in my opinion. It's going to come once the bigger weekend money comes along. So I guess my advice to anyone out there, if you're looking to bet the Rams, I think wait. I think you'll be able to shop around and get a 3. Willie Hill right now is offering some 3, but I think more books will be offering that. If you're looking to bet the Patriots, probably bet them now. I don't think this line closes at 3. But obviously, if it does go to 3, you're losing a hell of a lot of value. If you're looking to bet the Patriots, earlier the better. If you're looking to bet the Rams, I think wait, and I think you'll be able to get a 3 out there in the marketplace.
I guess I would sort of challenge your point by saying if you want to bet New England, I think you can wait if you want to bet the money line. You know, if you want to just take away the 2.5 points and not even worry about it at all, you know, then you just take that depressed New England money line price. You know, you may even see, I think there's a minus 130 or so out there on the money line. Pinnacle's dealing one of those, obviously not available to U.S. players unless they've been grandfathered in. But maybe you get a minus 125 money line. Maybe you find a minus 120 that's, you know, rogue and pops up for a very short amount of time. that's something that I would maybe look to wait on. But if you're going to bet the spread, you know, yeah, I mean, you obviously want 2.5 as opposed to running the risk of taking 3.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And that's, you know, another phenomenon that when it comes to the Super Bowl, you get suppressed money because it's an event. You got people, that's the only game they bet all year. And they're going to want to bet a little to win a lot. And one way, one of the easiest ways you can get at it is just betting the team to win the game. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, a lot of those people that walk up to the window are going to say, hey, I like New England to win the game. They don't even understand point spread. What do I got to bet? And when they tell them, at least right now, you got to bet $140 to win 100, I don't like that. But what's the Rams? I'm going to bet the Rams just to win the game. What do I get? Oh, you can bet 100 and your takeback's 120. Okay, give me that. I mean, you get that phenomenon all Super Bowl weekend long, and I couldn't agree with more with you. Forget the point spread. I think that the best, most profitable way as far as pricing, goes, if you want to get cheap and maybe an extra 10 cents of value, New England on the money line, although I'll say it's pretty fair right now. I mean, for typically 2.5-point favorites, -140 is pretty much in line with the marketplace if this was a regular season game. I'm not sure that'll be the case come the weekend. I agree with you. I think you'll be able to maybe get a -130 out there. I'm to be perfectly frank, I'll be honest, I'll be a little bit surprised if it goes lower than that. If not, I'll post on my Twitter account. I'll have some bigger New England money line tickets if that's the case. But, yeah, New England money line, I'll wait on that one. For the suppressed, I apologize for missing that.
No, it's fine. I mean, there's so much to think about with this game. It's just insane. And, you know, let's hit the props now because there's a lot of things that can be done all done at Vegas sportsbooks with the novelty props, the entertainment props, the broadcast props, all that type of stuff. But the meat and potatoes of the prop betting market, player receptions, player yards, quarterback yards, so on and so forth, all of those available pretty much market-wide. So, Brad, what does your prop betting sheet look like right now in terms of things that you've played or maybe things that you're waiting on to play?
It's probably a little bit lower than most. Again, I'm very much involved in college basketball. I mean, my portfolio is going to be maybe 10 or 12. I'm not like some of these other guys that have 30 or 40 in the pocket already. And that's a good point. I mean, at this point, they've been out for a week. And the Sharps have really picked a lot of these ones over. I mean, a couple ones that I liked, I mean, I'll throw one out there. Will there be a two-point conversion attempt? Westgate opened that up +145. That's now even. I mean, nearly 50 cents of movement. Don't like that one as much. And the thinking behind that was, since the rule changes in the NFL, lot greater chance of a two-point conversion attempt. We've seen in the last two Super Bowls, there's been four of them combined attempted. I thought that was a relatively good prop, but again, Sharps, you know, they took that one to town, not much value there. So, I mean, if you're looking to bet props now, I would say look for you're going to get, similar to New England, you're going to get some of these props, and if you're not afraid to bet a lot to win a little, I think this weekend's a great time to take advantage of that. And what are those types of props that get some suppression? Everyone wants to bet, will there be a safety? That's the public wants to bet. Yeah, there's going to be a safety. Why? Because you can bet a little to win a lot. And recently there was 3 straight Super Bowls that offered a safety, although that's starting to get a little bit dated. But I think you can get a suppressed saying, no, there will not be a safety. I mean, you can get maybe 50 cents or even more than that, maybe 100 cents, 200 cents worth of value on betting. No, there will not be a safety. Same thing goes for overtime. Everyone wants to bet overtime. Yeah, and the chances of that, you know, are very slim. We've only seen one in 52 Super Bowls. Everyone wants to bet, yes, there will be overtime. Again, you can get 50 cents, 100 cents, 200 cents worth of value on those types of props. If you're not afraid to bet a little, bet a lot to win a little, and want to bet along with the pros, I mean, that would be one of the tips that I'd give you if you're coming into town this weekend.
Now, we talk a lot during the college football season about, you know, game flow, sort of expectation for how some of these games will go, things of that sort. So let's take a look at the New England Patriots side of things first here, Brad. If you're Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and Tom Brady, what are you attacking? Who is the weapon that you are going to feature in this game, because you think that's the biggest mismatch for you. Do you have a guy or two in mind that you think the Patriots rely heavily on from a skill position standpoint?
I do like Sony Michel, and maybe I go attempts. I think New England tries to run the ball right at the Rams. Keep in mind the Rams are dead last in the NFL in yards per carry allowed in the regular season. And we've seen New England go, you know, a little bit run heavy here as of late. I mean, they've averaged 184 rushing yards per game the last four games. They've tried to control the clock in the last two playoff games significantly, have had success there. And I go back to just the thought process of Bill Belichick taking a running back in the first round of the draft. Obviously, he must have thought he had a significant advantage with Sony Michel back 9 months ago. He's used him in the playoffs a lot so far. So I kind of like him from a rushing aspect, you know, Sony Michel. Although, because I think, you know, it's tough, really, with Belichick. You know, I mean, he's like, again, a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So maybe I take team total over. It's right around 120 rush yards for the Patriots. They've averaged right around 129 for the season. And again, last 4 weeks, have had great success. I think I go with that from a rushing aspect, be my favorite value bet. Over, team total over 120 rush yards for the Patriots. When it comes to, you know, the receiving game, this is going to be very public and very, I would say, square. But I'm not afraid. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'll take Julian Edelman over 79.5 receiving yards. And here's my thinking. Number one, Edelman, you know, last year, missed all last year with injury. He was suspended the first four games of this year. First three, four games back, he struggled. And, you know, he had to get into rhythm and whatnot. Last 11 games, Julian Edelman has topped 79.5 yards. Seven of those 11 games. So I think there's some value there. And on top of that, Julian Edelman in the playoffs, that is Tom Brady's guy. 12-game sample size in playoff games and playoff game only. 10 of those 12 games, Edelman has topped 79.5 yards. In fact, in those 12 games, he's averaging right around 100 receiving yards per game. And one final thing on top of even that, you know, who was the guy that was running his mouth in the Super Bowl media days? You know, Nickel Robey Coleman, the defensive back for the Rams, who is going to be most likely guarding the slot receiver Edelman for the Patriots? It'll probably be Nickel Robey Coleman. So I think there'll be maybe a little bit of an axe to grind for Brady and company. Julian Edelman over 79.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, I like that one. I like Edelman in the first quarter as well. I mentioned this one earlier in the week. First quarter over 14.5 receiving yards. When you go back to the Super Bowl against the Falcons, Edelman was used a lot over the first three possessions for the Patriots. So that's kind of Tom Brady's guy. You know, he's your trusty possession guy. Get some timing going after the 2 week layoff. I really like that one. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. One thing I will say about Sony Michel, you know, I played Rex Burkhead over rushing attempts because it kind of makes some sense with the Patriots. You know, that physical type of game, wear down Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers, make it tough on them in the second half. So maybe you just play, you know, total team rushing attempts over for the Patriots as well. If you're kind of worried about the timeshare with Michelle, White, Burkhead, maybe Edelman gets a carry here or there, you never know. You could probably find that prop out there as well with team rushing attempts over. That way you don't have to pinpoint one guy. But I think Michelle, I think in the second half, that's a guy they may look to use a lot. You know, as the game wears along a little bit, you know, fatigue sets in some. Maybe that's something that makes some sense there with Sony Michelle, which, you know, would help for in terms of a rushing yards over type of thing. How about the Los Angeles Rams here, Brad? I mean, what does Sean McVay do in this game? What does Jared Goff do in this game? Who do you think are the highlight players for them from a skill position standpoint?
It's a little tougher for me to really pinpoint that down. We haven't seen as much movement in the marketplace on a lot of their stuff, with the exception of Todd Gurley. And that, to me, is the overall question of the Super Bowl. And people aren't talking about enough. Are you kidding me? You got one of the best running backs, one of the best non-quarterbacks as far as a value aspect in the entire NFL. And in the last game we saw him, he barely played. He had four rushing attempts for 10 yards. I mean, what in the hell is wrong with Gurley? I get it. C.J. Anderson's played well and whatnot. But, I mean, by all intents and purposes, I mean, Todd Gurley's not on the injury report. I mean, is it something mental? What is it? I mean, he's the guy that missed the last couple games of the regular season. Everything thought was fine and dandy come the Dallas game when he had 100-plus yards, even though he had 16 carries and Anderson still got the workload. I think a lot of it revolves around that. And also, it's a little bit complicated because if anyone's going to dictate anything, Bill Belichick's going to take away one of those guys. And I think he takes away one of the wide receivers, you know, very familiar with Brandon Cooks from his days at the Patriots last year. So, I mean, he'll know all the strengths and weaknesses for Cooks. Although I think the most important guy would be, you know, maybe Robert Woods, who's one of the better receivers in the NFL. I know Aikman said that a couple weeks ago, but he's right. I mean, as far as importance to a team, well, Woods is right up there. So it's a little bit tougher for me. And plus, there's still a question mark out there for Goff. Are the lights going to be too big? I came away impressed with Goff when it came to the NFC Championship game. There was no panic when he's down 13-0. In fact, outplayed Drew Brees for the final three quarters of that game. I haven't, in my portfolio, just because my sample sizes are bigger and I've seen the Patriots so many times in the Super Bowl, I have a lot more player props on the Patriots side than I do the Rams side, Adam.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, this is a great unknown here for the Rams. What is the status of Gurley? What does Goff do here when the lights are the brightest? Who is his guy? I mean, Cooks and Woods, both around the same number of targets, around the same number of catches. But you got to think that maybe there's a little bit more comfort with Woods, especially with Cooper Kupp out now. Is that the guy that Belichick spotlights? You know, because maybe he's not worried about Brandon Cooks. Maybe he's not worried about, you know, that deep threat of Brandon Cooks, because if Jared Goff wants to beat him deep down the field, it's a pretty low percentage play overall. So I agree. I mean, I think it's much easier to come to conclusions with the New England side than the Rams side. And, you know, with so many options out there, you know, you're not hard pressed to bet this or bet that. I think you go with what you're a little bit more familiar with. I think being heavier on the Patriots side does make sense.
Yeah, and that's how I've tagged. And just looking at the market and seeing some of the moves, I've seen a lot more moves on the Patriots side. I think that familiarity, especially when it's historical familiarity, there's always been a lot more unknown when it comes to Super Bowl. Not necessarily the case with the Patriots, even though there's always an unknown on how Belichick's going to attack things. And when everyone thinks he's going to zig, he zags. But that's just how I've attacked it, at least my inner circle of people around here. I've seen a lot more individual player props on the Pats side as far as recommendations. And then overall game flow, how they think it's going to be relatively played. Then a lot of people attacking Rams props. Just haven't seen it and haven't seen the overall market move that much.
All right, so let's go into college basketball here. And let's talk the West Coast Conference for a couple of minutes. One of the smaller conferences in college basketball, only 10 teams here. Gonzaga clearly far and away, head and shoulders, the class of this conference. Is this Gonzaga team as good as the previous ones that we've seen, Brad?
Yeah, I think it is. And at least they're showing it where it matters, and that'd be your pocketbook. I mean, just look at this is remarkable. And we'll get some more broad range. I think the conference is pretty good this year, at least a lot more balanced than what it's been in the last 5 or 6 years. But last 10 games for Gonzaga, this dating back to right around December 18th. Obviously, they won Gonzaga all 10. They've covered 8 of those 10 games covering by an average of 11 points per game. The most remarkable thing for me is average line. This isn't football. This is basketball. Average line for Gonzaga in their last 10 games, 25.6. They've been an average of a 25.6 favorite, and yet they're 8-2 against the number with an average cover of nearly 11 points per game. That in itself, to me, I don't care what the competition is, the fact that they're laying big-time huge numbers and they're still getting the job done when it comes to the pocketbook and cashing tickets, which is what it's all about. Yeah, I think Gonzaga is just as good as we've seen from them in the last decade. If not, I mean, if they're completely healthy, maybe the second-best Gonzaga team we've seen outside of the team that ended up making it to the national championship game. I think I can firmly say that. And we've seen that earlier on the season. They've challenged themselves. Close game against Tennessee. Nip-tuck game where Tennessee hit a couple of threes late. Otherwise, Gonzaga wins that game. Tennessee's number one in the country. And then as far as the AP poll, and then the number one power-rated team, Duke, Obviously, Gonzaga won that game. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of question marks about Gonzaga. And we'll get into it here. The fact that I think the conference is a little bit better, especially at the top, I think there's five top 100 teams this year. I think that's going to sharpen that iron a little bit more than past seasons for the Zags.
All right, so you said you think there are five top 100 teams from the West Coast Conference. Who are the other four, and who kind of stands out from that group?
Well, I think the biggest surprise is San Francisco this year. I mean, I know they're coming off a loss against San Diego in their last game, but that San Francisco team, you know, not too much was expected. And I get it. They of all the teams in the conference, they played the weakest strength of schedule so far. But I think, you know, the Dons really, you know, coming into their own here this season has helped out the conference. And it starts on the defensive side of the ball for them where they have, you know, a top 30 defense in the country. In fact, if you believe the KenPom ratings as far as adjusted defensive efficiency, even a better defense than Gonzaga at this point, San Francisco has really stepped up. You know, San Diego's a team that kind of was making some improvement last year. But San Diego's a team that's also been an improvement over past editions. San Diego coming off, you know, wins against Loyola and San Francisco in their last couple of games, they've kind of separated themselves and put them in the top 100. And then the other two teams, and these teams have been around here for the last decade when it comes to kind of challengers when it comes to Gonzaga and the West Coast. St. Mary's taking a little bit of a step back this year. They're coming off back-to-back losses, but still from a profitable aspect, 14-8 against the number this year. St. Mary's not as good as past editions, but certainly I have them in my top 40 as far or top 50 when it comes to power rating. And then, you know, BYU got a big win over St. Mary's in their last game. They kind of been meandering away. It's not one of the better BYU teams we've seen, and they're going to get up close and personal how good BYU is nationally when they play Gonzaga tonight. But I think all five of those teams, starting with Gonzaga, followed by San Francisco, St. Mary's, BYU, and San Diego, they're all in my top 100, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of disagreement there nationally.
So is this a top five of the conference that just keeps rolling through the regular season, or do you think somebody in that bottom five can, you know, maybe sneak up there and spoil the party?
You know, I would have said that Loyola Marymount would have been one to possibly break through there. But, you know, San Diego losing that game here recently, lost to St. Mary's at home, and that was a relatively big loss for them. Just haven't seen them be able to move. I mean, coming up next for them, I mean, they got a relatively easy game against Pacific. They should win, and I'd even lean on them to cover tonight hosting Pacific. They're at BYU. That'll be really – I mean, the big week for them will be next week, at BYU and then hosting San Diego. If they can break through into that top five, I think that would be the team that possibly could do it. But I just haven't seen enough of a buy sign from the Lions so far this season to say, hey, they can jump into that mix and compete with the big boys.
Now, are there any situational types of spots you look at here? I mean, do you sort of look to fade teams after they play Gonzaga? Are there any scheduling situations you try to capitalize on?
Well, it is one of those conferences where you can, because they're playing these Thursday-Saturday games. And, you know, again, this is handicapping 101. This is very basic level stuff here. But, you know, it's the one conference where you see teams play three, four straight road games. And a lot of times at the end of that road trip, especially if it's kind of, you know, you're playing two road games in three nights, those are ones that I don't mind taking advantage of, specifically if they're played at that, you know, that last one. And Gonzaga's kind of in that situation, although they've had a week in between games here. But they're playing their final game of a three-game road trip, and they're playing in altitude. And look, I'm not going to fade Gonzaga tonight, just because they've been so dominant against the number. But I'm not going to play on them tonight, laying 14 on the road in what I perceive to be a relatively bad spot. I mean, BYU's been sending home eating cheeseburgers all week after, you know, beating St. Mary's a week ago. So if you're looking for a situational aspect, I think the situation, you know, really calls for BYU tonight in a good situational spot. That's a lot of times you get that in this conference. Yeah, you're playing two games in three nights and you're getting teams playing three, four straight road games, I usually like to take advantage of the home teams there.
Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowersports.com. What's going on over there right now, man?
Yeah, you go to bradpowersports.com. Super Bowl issue you can just download for free. Just go down to the free picks, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and get the whole Super Bowl issue for free. So if you like what you see with the Super Bowl, you know, don't grade me too harshly if the pick in there doesn't win. But I am on the under, just for everyone out there listening. But you can check out the Super Bowl issue. And if you do like what you see, early renewal offer for the football newsletter, just $69. You'll be covered through Super Bowl 54, $69, entire football season. We talked at the start, and I apologize for not having some great future takes, but we do in the offseason really take advantage of season win totals, futures as far as conferences and whatnot, and you get that monthly during the offseason. $69 for the newsletter. If you're interested in college hoops, $199 is VIP. That's daily emails that you get as far as VIP. Go to bradpowersports.com.
I got to say, man, you and I have talked about this before, and I know you and I have talked about this in private as well. $69 for that newsletter is the best buy in this business. I mean, for the information that's out there and also the success rate that you've had with college football and the NFL, dude, you're selling yourself way too damn short with that thing.
I know, and it's funny, and I know you got another guest coming up, but 57% is the record over 4 years. We're talking nearly a 700-game sample size, 57%. And I put in there at the end of the season a little questionnaire, you know, give me any feedback. I want to hear from you. And they fill it out, and people want more. Can you believe that? They want more picks, more this, more that, and they want it for no charge. It shocks me. Love my customers. Very thankful for them, but it's unbelievable to me that they're not satisfied with that $69 newsletter, 57% winners, and all the information on top of it that's in there on a weekly and monthly basis.
Well, I think it's a fantastic piece, and, you know, as we talked about here to kick off this segment, you know, the idea that this college football timeline is just flying by this year already, maybe a good time to start looking into something like that over at bradpowersports.com, and you can follow Brad on Twitter, at Brad Powers and the number 7. Brad, as always, brother, appreciate the time. Thank you so much for chatting with me, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, take care, my friend.
There you go. There's professional handicapper Brad Powers from bradpowersports.com. I'm not just blowing smoke up everybody's ass because Brad and I are good friends, but that newsletter is, I mean, I've obviously seen editions of it. You can download the past editions. It is just chock full of information, to say the least. So, you know, good to talk there with him. Good to get his Super Bowl thoughts. Good to get some of his college basketball thoughts as well. And, you know, when you talk about the West Coast Conference, you know, we talk about this a lot here on the show. Conference specialization, such an important thing. And the West Coast Conference is a tough one because you've got a team like Gonzaga that is so much better than everybody else and can still go out there and cover some big numbers. But there are still 9 other teams in that league where you can look for some situational betting spots, look for some opportunities, things of that sort. So, you know, again, it doesn't matter what the conference is that you're looking at. One of the reasons why we're going through these conferences one by one here, and we'll talk the SoCon on tomorrow's show with Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com. One of the reasons we talk about this is so that we can uncover things like, you know, hey, Gonzaga, faced with covering big numbers, still doing it. Why does San Francisco cover games? Because they play defense. You know, what about those situational spots in the altitude for BYU? You know, what about, you know, the fact that most of these teams are in the state of California? You know, so you leave the state of California to play Gonzaga, BYU, in Portland, you know, what happens with those situational spots? So a lot of different angles here with these smaller conferences, a lot of things that you can really look to take advantage of. And also, too, I will say that, you know, we're looking at these conferences with an eye toward the future with conference tournament time coming up here as well. You know, I was looking today, Conference USA actually done with the regular season on February 16th, I believe it is. So conference tournaments, you know, three and a half weeks away now at this point in time. So that's why we're going through breaking down all of these conferences one by one, looking for some betting angles, looking for some opportunities, looking for some of those spots where, you know, we can maybe find some value on a team for the conference tournament, or at the very least, you're going to be familiar with these conferences so that you can dig in a little bit more, sink your teeth in some, and also too, you know, have a little bit of a head start because, you know, again, this year, conferences like the A-Sun, the MEAC, the SWAC, the Southland, the Big South, the Northeast Conference, you know, all of these lined in the regular season for really the first time that I can remember. You know, some of the offshores would have added games and things of that sort, but, you know, we're seeing all those games lined across the board now. Used to be able to find some good futures prices and betting opportunities in those conferences, but now, you know, because we have to know about those, maybe some of those edges taken away a little bit. So I would expect the conference tournament market to be a little bit sharper here this season, just because of, you know, everything that we have going on in the college basketball world, where there's so much more attention to detail across all of these different leagues here this year, to the point where, you know, you really need to be paying a lot of attention. So good chat there with Brad on the West Coast Conference. We will talk Missouri Valley here in a few minutes with Tony George. But, you know, again, it's very important to stick to what you know, and then because of that, you'll want to know something. So that's why conference specialization, a very, very good idea in the world of college hoops. We got one more guest here for this Thursday edition, of Bang the Book Radio. That is professional handicapper Tony George from Doc Sports. Tony, how's it going today, man?
Going good, man. Busier than heck. Still trying to figure out my Super Bowl card.
Well, the Super Bowl rapidly approaching here, but not seeing a whole lot of movement out in the marketplace. Still 2.5, still 56.5. It's the same place we started early in the week. You surprised that we're not seeing too much movement yet, Tony?
I am, especially with the amount of money that Vegas has got, you know, on New England. I was down at Westgate yesterday. I've been running around town, you know, to different books, you know, even though I have their apps, I like to get the papers and go through all their props and sit down and go through them. You know, you try to middle some of them. Sometimes they're the over and under on yards and everything else is there. So I'm doing that, but I'm talking to a couple of sportsbook managers and they're, you know, 90% plus money on the Patriots and they're not raising the line. I think stations raised it up to 3 yesterday for about 20 minutes and dropped it back down to 2.5. And William and Hill had it at 3 for like a day and a half. And I suppose they're getting money to come back the other way because the sharps are going to hit the number at 3. And we have yet to – today's the day, you know, Adam, they all fly in from all over the country and start their Super Bowl weekend festivities. The whole town's sold out, so – you're going to see a ton of public money coming in here the next couple of days. So it'll be interesting to see what the line does. I think they'll move it to 3. You'll never see 3.5, obviously, no matter what the disparity is in money. But at the end of the day, as we all know, only 40% of the handle on the average in Vegas is the side. You know, the rest, their side or total, the rest of it's all props and first half and first quarter and second quarter bets. So I think really odds makers are more in tune to keep an eye on what the prop bets are doing because that's where most of the money's at. And the money line stuff, some of that could really hurt them. And so that's what they're doing and fudging numbers with right now.
So in terms of side total and money line here, Tony, we talked about it last week. We talked about some initial thoughts. We talked about, you know, the early split, which has continued here. Has anything changed in your mindset or, you know, are you still you know, pretty much honed in on what you were already looking at for the side in total?
Yeah, I really haven't had my mind changed. I've sat down and talked to some, you know, the legitimate sports handicapping community in Las Vegas is a small circle. You know, there's a lot of guys out here that, you know, got a website or whatever, but, you know, at the end of the day, I've spoken to all these guys are my friends, even if they're at competing websites. We've known each other. I've been doing this 27 years, so I know about everybody in town. I know everybody in town. And it's really interesting when usually, you know, guys, especially a lot of these handicappers, including myself, sometimes can have a little bit of an ego, you know, and they take a really strong stance on their belief on what they're going to do. And I have not spoken to one single handicapper, and I won't name them by names, but all your listeners would know who they were. And every single one of them that I've spoken to is still undecided, side and total, which I've never seen in 27 years doing, you know, somebody up in there, the Patriots are going to kill them. Here's why they're going to kill them. You know, the Eagles are going to get beat by 30. You know, like last year, you know, and there were guys making stands, you know, all over the place. Atlanta's going to steamroll these guys that can't stop them. Brady can't trade punches, you know, all those different you know, conversations you have with these guys, or, you know, where they're just like, this thing's going to fly over the total, you know, blah, blah, blah. Second half scoring, it's automatic, you know, all this stuff. And this year it's pretty much silence. It's nothing. You know, it's either, again, if you take a look at just basically breaking down, you know, grading positions, man-to-man matchups, outside of the quarterback position, you know, almost everything points to the Rams, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Wade Fellow, you talk about inexperience in coaching. Wade Phillips has coached against New England in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, so it's not like McVay's just some rookie, you know, and I was looking, so you're either going to bet on experience or you're going to bet on the better team, and what are you going to do? And the number's sitting about where it should be. And it's a real tough call. I mean, I'm going to make a lot more money for myself and my clients on props than I could even think about making on the site in total. I've got maybe a little bit more of a strong lean with the first half total as a premium play that that's going to probably be my biggest play, Adam, is the first half total.
All right. So let's talk about those props then. I mean, again, there are just so many of them and so many options, and you can correlate them to how you expect the game to go. You can correlate them to hedge against your side or total play. You know, you can do a lot of different things here with these. What are some of the props that you're looking at, Tony?
Well, a ton of them here, obviously. I don't think there's going to be a lot of sacks in the game. You know, I think both, even though the defensive line of the Rams, as you saw what they did against Drew Brees, a lot of hurries, but I still like that under 3.5 sacks a lot. I don't think there's going to be too many of those. I think there'll be a lot of hurries. Brady gets rid of the ball too quick, you know, and Goff doesn't hang on to it either, you know. And then, of course, looking at some of these, I saw a prop bet today I was going to looking at over 5.5 first downs, third down conversions for New England. Over 5.5 was +100, and I put a little bit of money on that yesterday. These aren't necessarily props I'm putting out to my clients. Will there be a field goal in the first quarter? Yes, -130. I like that a lot. You know, New England's only scored in the first quarter one time in the Super Bowl, and it was field goals. They've never scored a touchdown in the first quarter. And you got two really good kickers here, you know, Adam, in a dome, no wind, no weather. I think I saw Stations has got 46.5. I think Westgate's got 48.5. on longest field goal in the game, and I would go over that as well. You know, I think you're going to see easily have somebody stall out on the 35, 38-yard line and want to kick a field goal in that environment. They both got good legs, you know. So that being said, on the site in total, to sweeten up the pot a little bit, instead of worrying about the 2.5, this is probably going to end up at 3. No more, but 2.5. My problem is I can't wait till Sunday for my clients. We have to put out all of our cards for football Thursday at 5 Central. So this card's got to go up today, which is my props are complete, just not my side and totals other than the first half. But some of the alternate point spreads, which I really like and I'm willing to do here, here it is. I even got this ticket. I over at Stations Casino, I took the Rams +6.5 at -180. So you can manipulate the line. Rams +4.5 is -150. +6.5 now is at 200. I'm looking at live odds. And if you want to go up to 3.5, you know, or you want to go up to 7.5, it's -250 taking the points. So those are just a few of them. You know, I've got more if you want to talk about more, some player props if you want to. But at the end of the day, you know, those are the ones for your guys here. And one, you know, everybody does one exotic or fun wager. I do it every year. I put $200 on it every year. About 3-4 years ago, it panned out for me. I always bet the safety. And it's +650. And I put $200 on that at 650 at Stations yesterday, Adam. So I'm hoping for a safety for a big play. I, I got the one when they sacked Peyton Manning in the end zone and walked away with like $6,300 on that one prop bet. And that happened real early in that Super Bowl game there too. So it made me real happy. So I'm pulling for a safety here.
Well, I certainly don't want you to pull back the curtain on everything that you've got going out to premium clients, but you know, I'll ask you the same questions I asked Brad Powers in the previous segment. You know, as we look at this game and as we look at all of the skill position talent on both teams, I mean, you kind of have to put yourself in the mind of the coach, of the offensive coordinator, of the quarterback. Is there a guy for New England or the Rams that you feel like, you know, will be kind of the spotlight guy in this game?
I think maybe Sony Michel will be for New England. And I just got a feeling, just a gut feeling here that Gurley may have played possum, you know, against New Orleans. He wasn't 100%. Whatever the game plan was in Sean McVay's mind there. But I think Gurley's going to have a big day and you might want to start looking at some of his numbers, you know, this week, because I think that there's a little bit of value there because they really didn't know whether he was going to play, you know, that much or not. And Sean McVay's comments were he would not commit to saying he's going to get more touches, this, that, and the other, but they're getting equal reps in practice. I know that for a fact. But he said it was going to be an in-game decision on how he was going to be distributing the ball between him and Anderson based on, you know, performance on the field. Which leads me to believe that Gurley's healthier than he was against New England for whatever reason that was. I think, you know, they may have a big day. You know, they're a big play action team, L.A. is. And play action, they'll get two backs in the backfield on a split set, you know, keep one back for blocking and run Gurley out on wheel routes a lot and get him out in space. And New England's not real good at covering that. So I can see Gurley having a big day here.
That's the thing. I mean, you know, you think about everyone's looking at this game as Tom Brady versus Jared Goff and Bill Belichick versus Sean McVay and the experience edges there. And yet a lot of times in these segments, we keep coming back to the running backs. So it just speaks to the intrigue of the Super Bowl and, you know, that there are so many ways that both of these teams can go about it. And we've talked for over a week and a half now about one 60-minute football game. And we've covered every angle we possibly can. And yet there's still that level of uncertainty with how it'll play out.
Yeah, you know, and the big, again, you know, this is pros versus Joes. Everybody and their dog's going to be betting New England. And you know what? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have beaten lesser teams in this spot in big games time and time again. You know, they just like the first half of the Kansas City game. You know, as I look at New England, I try and make a case to the Rams. You know, you look at the Kansas City game. The first half, Andy Reid got his ass coached off. There was no doubt about it. You know, he got his ass coached off. And then they made some adjustments at halftime, which Andy Reid didn't used to do. And he made some great adjustments. And then you got to bear in mind that that the Patriots gave up 31 second-half points in a championship game. I mean, that's alarming. The Patriots are road chalk this year. Road chalk 0-5, you know, against the spread is road chalk. I mean, that's got to alarm you. Another thing that has to alarm you, you hear a lot about this experience factor. And I was looking up a stat here, and I'm going to see if I can pull this up on my website here because I saw a stat here. You talk about experience when it comes to coaching. I was reading an article here, and I did some double-checking on it. The team with the most experienced coach in the last 19 games has gone 8-11 straight up and then a miserable 4-13-2 against the spread, you know, including last year, you know. I mean, so, you know, the experience factor is what you think it is. It's not Tom Brady versus Jared Goff. Tom Brady versus Jared Goff in a skills challenge – or something like that, maybe he might beat him. But at the end of the day here, you know, it's going to boil down to some coaching. And the reason I brought up the Kansas City game and Andy Reid getting his rear end coached off, Sean McVay is not going to get his rear end coached off. The other thing, too, is, I guess, as you're talking about the side play, this is not Kansas City's defense. This is night and day from what they faced in the AFC Championship game on the defensive side of the ball. And Wade Phillips is a very experienced coordinator, as we all know, past head coach, the whole nine yards, you know. And I think Brady and Belichick, as much as they'll, like they did in Kansas City, devise a way to create man-to-man mismatches and bad matchups for the other team. Teams are, like Kansas City, adjusted in the second half. And I think if Kansas City would have won the coin toss in that game because New England couldn't stop them, we'd be talking about Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Tyreek Hill right now instead of Brady and Edelman. But at the end of the day here, I think that the Rams have a very good chance to win this game. I really do. But it's just, you always got to hesitate on that Brady and Belichick factor. And that's really what gives me great pause, which I'm finding, you know, personnel grading matchups in the prop bets, you know, far more lucrative than the side or the total here.
All right, so we transition to a much different market here. That's college basketball. We'll touch on the Missouri Valley. We've been doing our conference breakdowns here, and the last time we talked about the Mo Valley, Tony, Valparaiso was leading this thing at 4-0. Well, they've dropped four of their last five. Loyola Chicago now in the top spot, and that's probably where they should be. So the balance of power has shifted a little bit here in this conference.
Yeah, it has. There's a lot of ebb and flow last night. In this conference. You know, you had, the home teams aren't dominating. Evansville goes down to Bradley last night. Drake, my only loss, I've been on a hell of a run in college. I think I got 11-4 run in college basketball my last 15. And Mo Valley's why I always stick a Mo Valley play in. My only loss yesterday, I took Drake, who just got their rear end handed to him, you know, by a bad road team in Illinois State last night by 14 points, laying four, which was just shocking. You know, in Southern Illinois, who was kind of falling by the wayside and couldn't get anything going offensively, here they go and stick up 88 points last night on Indiana State. And, you know, it's been a topsy-turvy a conference this year with no clear-cut favorite as of yet, which is a little bit concerning and real hard for me to handicap right now.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, we have talked about that home-road dichotomy here, and that doesn't really seem to be working as well as it has in the past, as
no.
You mentioned, and, you know, sort of illustrated by what happened last night, you know, and yeah, it's just a small sample size, but still, it's kind of been the running theme here. So, well, I mean, how do you sort this thing out? You've got Loyola Chicago at the top, Illinois State at 6-3, three teams at 5-4, two teams at 4-5. Nobody in the conference has fewer than three conference wins. And is it Loyola Chicago and then everybody else in your mind right now?
Well, I still think Drake, if they can get their act together, is going to give them some problems, you know, at the end of the day. But Loyola Chicago leads the conference in offensive efficiency by a mile, you know, they're kind of middle of the pack when it comes to defense. But they're, you know, Missouri State, Drake, Illinois State defensively are good. You know, I thought maybe Valpo was going to be that team this year to break out of there, you know, but, you know, you've got this Krutwig and Towns for Loyola. Both those guys are rock star studs. Illinois State, you know, I think still going to be a sleeper. They got Yarborough. They got Fain, which is Phil Fain is a really good player. So I think it's going to be Loyola Chicago, and I think maybe Illinois State's going to be a team that comes on here a little bit as the season goes along. That's one team I've got my eye on if I'm catching points, and I faded them last night like an idiot just because Drake has, you know, just been – they were Drake's one of the best cover teams in college basketball, and they were 15-3-1. It gets a spread going in that game last night, you know. But they lost Nick Norton, you know, about 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks ago. And I thought, well, we'll see how they react. And they reacted very badly the last couple of games of the non-conference schedule into the conference schedule. They did not play well, and they found out a way to develop some chemistry and get some scoring back. But then again, here we are last night. They had trouble scoring against Illinois State and that defense. So I'm going to kind of have to take Drake out of the mix. But I think right now Illinois State's probably going to be the odds-on favorite team to challenge as the season goes along right now with Loyola.
And Loyola Chicago and Illinois State play here on Saturday. And as I'm looking at
yes.
Mark Corvick's look-ahead lines here for the rest of conference play for Loyola Chicago, they're a favorite of four or fewer points in six of their remaining nine conference games. So this does look like a conference that should be very competitive down the stretch. Any look-ahead thoughts to that game here on Saturday between Loyola Chicago and Illinois State? Was that just a look-ahead spot last night for the Ramblers where they almost lost at home to Northern Iowa?
Now, Northern Iowa just gives everybody fits because they're so good defensively. That's one thing, you know. And you start looking at their, defensive efficiency and different things, and you go, well, you know, they're not ranked up that high. They're just real pesky, you know. And you never know what you're going to get with Northern Iowa. You never know what you're going to get with them. One night they show up and look like a world beater, and the next night they show up and look like the Northern Iowa of old. If we score 51 points, we can win because we can hold somebody to under 50 all the time. That's kind of their MO the last couple of years. It's not the case this year. They can put points up. That game, Loyola, that's in Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, game's at Illinois State.
It's at Illinois State. I would only take the home dog in that one. That would be my initial reaction. I would only take the home dog, and I wasn't impressed with what Loyola did last night at all, to be totally honest with you. They probably should have won by a lot more points. They probably should have won, you know, more than what I think it was a one-point game, if I'm not mistaken. So was it 61-60 or something like that? I was so absolutely dialed into Mike Drake lost that I really didn't pay that much attention till this morning. I was like kind of raised my eyebrows on that because I thought they beat them up a little bit and they didn't get it done. But, you know, playing a tight game like that, then going on, Illinois State's real, real tough to beat, you know. Most of these teams until this year, that was the one thing I always relied on, you know, Adam, was I got a team at home catching points in the Mo Valley, automatic take. Odds makers are clueless. And I was just pounding these plays and winning, you know, 65-70% of them. Just almost, it was automatic. It was like clubbing baby seals. And this year now, you never know what you're going to get, you know. The fade team right now is Evansville. They're not playing well at all. Obviously, getting beat up by Bradley at home is alarming. But, you know, maybe Loyola Chicago was looking ahead a little bit against Northern Iowa because I know one thing. I remember seeing a halftime. I think they were down 5 or 6 at halftime. If I'm not, I think they were down like 6, maybe more than 6 or 7, something like that. They were down 33-26. So they were down 7 points at halftime to Northern Iowa, which was really an eyebrow raiser to me, you know. But you know, the thing of it is. The one thing I looked at this morning, although Loyola won that game by 1 point, Adam, look at these percentages from that game. They shot 50% from the floor and 50% from the three-point line. And they out-rebounded them by 7 rebounds, and they still only won by 1. That is a little bit disconcerting. And I'm sure I didn't watch the game, but I see that Northern Iowa only got 4 free throws in the entire game, and Chicago Loyola got 19, and they only shot 57% from the floor. Those type of numbers, only winning by 1, kind of got to raise your eyebrows a little bit. They're going to be laying a decent number on the road this weekend.
Tony George, professional handicapper over at Doc Sports. What's going on over there right now, Tony?
Well, we got our Super Bowl card over there. Every handicapper at Doc Sports, we got 12 of them, including moi. We're running a special $25 for anybody's Super Bowl card. And all these Super Bowl cards have side total and a bunch of prop bets on them. So it's a good way to shop around and get 2 or 3 guys and pick up a ton of prop bets and spread it around. So My card will be out at 5 Central today. We're on a nice 11-4 run in college basketball. I got a big hidden gem small conference play tonight, a 6-unit play on a doubleheader. And my NBA has been on a nice 20-9 run. And one thing I found out, Adam, I know you didn't have this on your list, but the one thing I've discovered, and I have just been absolutely killing it, I have been betting first half lines in the NBA. I'm on a 20-9 run, but I've been betting these first half lines in the NBA here about the last month and a half. I've had one first half line loss in the NBA this entire season, and I've been cherry picking them like crazy. So you always got to worry about complacency with big leads, with good teams against weak sisters in the second half, and how many times you lay in 9, they're up 20 at halftime, they win by 8, and you lose by a point. I've taken the guesswork out of it, and I'm finding great spots in the NBA with these first half lines, Adam. I'm tearing it up. So we'll have one of those plays tonight on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll talk about your first half betting strategy next week. I want to make sure we had our focus on the Super Bowl here this week. We'll talk first half NBA and some of the things that you look for on that segment next week with Tony George, professional handicapper over at Doc Sports, at T George Sports on Twitter. Tony, appreciate your time as always, man. Thank you so much. Good luck with the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you again next week.
Well, yeah, I'm a little disappointed you didn't tell me which way you were leaning on the side, Adam.
I'm saving that for tomorrow's show. Saving it for tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be sure and tune in, buddy.
There you go. There's Tony George, professional handicapper over at Doc Sports. Again, at T George Sports on Twitter. Coming up on our Friday edition of Bang the Book Radio, 3 segments coming your way. We'll chat UFC with Christian Pina, who's our new UFC writer. We'll talk with him about that event coming up here this weekend, and also make sure you check out his preview over at bangthebook.com. We'll also have our version of the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook, the last one for the season here with Brent, and then we'll have a handicapping the hardwood segment where we'll also talk NFL Super Bowl 53 props with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com and bangthebook.com. Could be a very long show tomorrow. I'm going to give you that heads up right now. Hoping to do about 20-20 with UFC and Brent, and then do 30 or 35 with Kyle, but we'll see how that whole thing plays out. But just a heads up about tomorrow's show. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.